This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hanging out by Columbia University at the bar.
ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. In 10 minutes, we'll be joined by the great Doris Burke to talk about a crazy finish between the Knicks and Celtics. Before we get there, we need to discuss the hot topic of the day,
Max,
of course.
What's that? Go outside and just do the, just move the arms.
Just, why would you, just going to stand outside like an idiot and just do
no,
this?
No, that's what they do every day when we go outside. Just
yeah, oh, yeah, there's a whole group of people downstairs. You're right.
You ever try to do that for 10 minutes? My arms get dead.
Yeah. And how about the boxing coach down there always training somebody
always
out there?
Always doing the pad work.
Yeah, pad work.
It's always somebody that doesn't know how to box, too.
That's all right. It's white-collar boxing. Nothing wrong with that. Good workout. A lot of the boxing industry is trainers training white-collar boxers.
Yeah. Come on, Yates, man, where my music?
Can't turn it back on. It's
the Browns head into Thursday night football tonight against the Broncos without Baker Mayfield. You know, when I hear, oh, this is like, I heard Greeny talking about it's a disaster for the, I think the disaster from the for the Browns, missing both offensive tackles, maybe both wideouts, both running backs. They have a great backup quarterback. If you have Case Keenum as your backup, you're doing pretty good. But at any rate, Baker with a shoulder injury in a contract year, basically, with Case Keenum stepping in. How do the Browns fans feel about going from Super Bowl contenders to being sub 500? Here's ESPN Cleveland's Aaron Goldhammer.
It feels pretty dire. Like, the expectations here were to compete for a Super Bowl this year, and that was the talk nationally also. And now the Browns sit at 3-3. Everybody's watching their TV screens and listening to their Alexa smart speaker devices and hearing people on ESPN say that they're the most disappointing team in the NFL. And now for the first time in a long time, you're going into a game without Baker Mayfield at quarterback, and it just has unsettled the soul of a lot of Browns fans.
Now, so how important is tonight's game for Baker's future in Cleveland? So here's Aaron Goldhammer. It's on Canty and Golic Jr. Listen to what he says about Case Keenum, guys.
Case looks as good or better than Baker in this offense. I think it will affect how those contract negotiations go, and it's going to light everybody. If Case has good chemistry with Odell and Odell plays, that is a total powder keg for our show.
You know, I'm going to ask you, what's a powder keg?
You know, where they keep gunpowder.
I didn't know nothing about that. But okay.
Well, you don't want to get fire near it. Let's put it that way.
Just sounds aggressive. Like, yes, I don't want to be around that.
Overly aggressive. But I mean, what he said is right. Because those whispers are going to start anyway. The backup quarterback is always the favorite. And when the backup quarterback takes over and the team starts to look in sync and things run smoothly and players that were not touching the ball all of a sudden touching the ball, then everyone starts to say, well, this looks a little bit different here. And Baker Mayfield is in this spot in his career where they're trying to make a decision on if he's the right guy for the future. And this is kind of putting a monkey wrench in the whole program, because if Case Keenum goes out there with a lack of weaponry, no tackles, against a Denver Broncos defense that at times can be really good with Von Miller on the edge, and he is very productive, 19 to 23, you know, 19 to 25, 310 yards, you know, two touchdowns and a pick six for tip ball off some receiver's hand for a pick six that he doesn't get the credit for. That looks different. Odell Beckham, 8 catches, 120 and 2 touchdowns, and all of a sudden they win. Now people are going to sit there and go, well, you know, he runs this offense efficiently. This is what he did in Minnesota. Let's take a look. A la Nick Foles-y kind of. And so you get the impression that people in Cleveland wouldn't mind seeing that take place.
Can I tell you something? And I've been around Key for a year, and obviously I've been a player my whole life. If Keyshawn Johnson and OBJ have these personalities, right, that are polarizing to a lot of people because they know their sport and they're passionate about their sport.
And we're really good at it, too.
Yes, and you're very good at it. So as a player in the locker room, if you're one of these two individuals and you play in the game this Thursday night and you hit your stride with Case Keenum, you're telling me when you come back in the locker room, you're not going to be looking at Baker Mayfield being like, yo, man, this dude finds me. This dude makes me look right. I don't have to answer all these dumbass questions for people wondering about, do I still have the talent? Am I still able to be great? He's making me look right.
I think there's
it
I
makes
think
the relationship
right.
between players in that locker room and those quarterbacks, it makes them divided. And that creates a problem if Case Keenum comes out and delivers
and,
tonight.
And there's another component, too, because you brought up Nick Foles. One thing I noticed about Foles with that Eagles team, they liked playing with him, Key. Like, they were dead in the water that second year with Carson Wentz, right? The Super Bowl defense, they were like 5-6 when Foles came in. They weren't going to make the playoffs. Caught fire, made the playoffs, won a playoff game on the road, almost won at the Saints, right? So the team, both sides of the ball, responded to Nick Foles. Case Keenum in Minnesota, I don't know, that team seemed to be energized to me, guys, when Case Keenum was the quarterback. Maybe he's also one of these dudes that can galvanize, as they say,
well,
the team.
I've been there in my career before. In 1998, Jay, Max, I had a quarterback named Glenn Foley. We're okay. I think when Glenn got hurt, we might have been sub 500 early in the season. Started kind of like right about now for them. Mm-hmm. And the offense was okay, but Vinny Testaverde was standing on the sideline. Veteran guy who knew how to play. And when once Glenn got hurt and Vinny took over, the rest was history. Like, it was like they getting ready to take me to another level. Vinny was going to take – because I practiced with Vinny, so I knew – his balls was like handoffs. You know, he's throwing 50-yard strikes right in the breadbasket. So you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, okay, this makes all the sense in the world. And then eventually, we kept him in as a starting quarterback. We went on to the AFC Championship game. I went to my first Pro Bowl. So it's kind of like you got to kind of see what it is. Vinny knew the system because he had familiarity with the system. And so – I've been there firsthand experience. If Case Keenum goes out there and takes care of business, Baker Mayfield injury will disappear really quickly on his side, but it may not on the team side.
Mm. What is he? Is he? How many years is he? Is a 3 year?
It's 4 years. This is his fourth year.
No, I'm talking about Case Keenum.
Oh, I don't.
I think he signed a 3 year, $18 million deal, right?
Yeah.
So if you're paying a dude $6 million a year and the team likes him and responds to him, and he's in the same basket with Baker, even if Baker's a little better, and Baker wants $200 million. Oh, all right. We are joined now by the great Doris Burke, ladies and
What's
gentlemen.
Up, BB?
Lots to get into after an exciting NBA night last night, Doris.
Come on, how electric was the garden last night?
I tell you what, I think you might want to turn your mic a little bit more. No, your microphone itself. Yeah, there it is. We all need to hear from you. I'll tell you what. The way that game was going, especially early with Jaylen Brown hot and everything, and then late where the Celtics tie it up, it just felt like that's the kind of game in recent years until last year the Knicks would lose.
It's a great point. And how about Evan Fournier makes the defensive mistake that sends it into overtime but then responds by making multiple threes? You know, I think you saw some signs from the Knicks that should help them. Evan Fournier, they needed to get somebody to balance the floor so that in the postseason when they load to Julius Randle, somebody else can put it on the deck and create either for himself or for somebody else. Interesting that they sub out Kemba Walker late. He had played so many minutes, and D. Rose gets off the dribble drive for that big-time bucket. Like, that was so fun to watch last night.
I mean, seeing Spike Lee courtside, seeing Tracy Morgan courtside, it felt like the Garden was back. But I got to give him a lot of credit because it's a lot of the small things that sometimes I think Julius Randle does that people don't give him credit for. He almost had a triple-double last night. I mean, the rebounding and the passing.
Oh,
the way
passes to Mitch
game.
To Mitch Robinson inside was like they had it going.
And think about it, guys. This is new, right? So if you remember 2 years ago, the criticism of Julius was he wouldn't distribute the basketball. He was always looking for his own. A season ago, career high in assists. Really understands that, okay, the double's going to come to me. The floor is going to be loaded to me. I've got to find guys. And I only think that's going to grow. I think the key for me, Jay, is Kemba Walker's left knee going to hold up?
Yes.
Because if it does, now you've got real options on the offensive side of the floor.
If it does, Where do you think they fit in the Eastern Conference race?
Well, you know, I said this. I thought last night if it was indicative of any one thing in particular, it's the depth of the Eastern Conference. Because those are not two teams that are going to get ahead of either Milwaukee, who to me right now is a step above everybody else, or even the Brooklyn Nets. But the fact of the matter is they're both really quality teams, and trying to win against either of them, you're going to have to work for it.
I mean, Miami's gotten better.
Chicago.
Chicago has gotten better. The Washington Wizards – low-key have gotten better as well. So, I mean, the depth, I'm with you, Doris. It's really there. What do you make of everything happening in Philly? Obviously, you know, the reports last night about them playing, but them going out to team dinner.
Right.
You heard Joel Embiid talk about this is the first time pretty much in his career that he is not going into his hotel room and just play video games. They're doing team bonding experiences. Yeah. It feels like it's actually his team.
Well, I think he's relishing the opportunity to take this adversity and try to become the leader that's going to be required in this drama with Ben Simmons. But what happened last night? They won on the road in the NBA. No Zion, I get it, but winning on the road is still tough. They only had a six-point edge with 9:23 left to go in the game, and yet Furkan Korkmaz goes north of 20. They had their first and second point guards because Shake Milton would have started the point. He's nowhere near ready because of the ankle. And yet Tyrese Maxey goes for 27-5. Like, there, as much as we've talked about the drama and how that's going to weigh on the Sixers, and it is, those are facts. The first question Doc was asked in the postgame was sort of the Ben Simmons situation. But I really believe, Key, that Joel Embiid is going to relish the opportunity to take on leadership in a very tough moment for them.
How long do you think that drama, Doris, will continue? Will they get smart in Philadelphia? And I guess we'll see in the season opener whether they roll Ben Simmons out or make him stay home. Mm. How long do you think that drama will happen? Or will they just say, you know what, we're going to pay you.
Yeah.
And why don't you just sit on the side, not in the stadium, but stay home until we figure it out?
Well, they're reporting that today, Ben Simmons is expected to show up at practice. And so Keyshawn's reaction is classic. I wish our listeners could see how viscerally he reacted to that comment. So if you're him or you're that organization, you're not going to have the resolve to keep making that young man show up, keep making him pay financially and inflicting that kind of pain. You'd go in an entirely different direction.
Yes, Doris, here's why I would do that. Because much like you just mentioned 45 seconds ago, the distraction. Mm. I don't need the distraction coming into the building because now, one, you got to continue to answer questions. Two, I don't like you as a player. Why are you bringing him into the building? We know what he is, right? So why do we keep bringing that poison, as like people like to say, locker room cancer, whatever? Why are you bringing that in here? And instead of just saying, let's send him home, and we can keep winning because it's a distraction. And then if you decide to put him on the bench, Jay, and dress him in street clothes.
Every game.
That's a problem.
It feels like it's personal, Doris. And I'm just me being subjective, right? Some of my friends will always text because they're Philly fans. Like, we want him to hurt. We want him to feel it. Mm. He let us down. Mm. And like that's the only feeling that kind of comes to mind for me. Like, do you just want to publicly shame him? I don't know.
Listen, but that's bad business, though.
I don't know.
How about 1,000 miles away from the game in New Orleans at the Flyers game, there are anti-Ben Simmons chants in Philly. You think that fan base isn't going to get after that young
that's
man when
saying.
He hits the floor?
That's what I'm saying.
They took care of him. What's so bizarre about this is he's such a fantastic player in so many ways. And Philly fans coddled him, if
yes.
anything.
Yeah.
And he was the one, after he played poorly, after they'd sent Joel Embiid's best friends away, Redick, Butler, they didn't resign. If they seemed, the town, the organization, seemed to bend over backwards for Ben Simmons, he kind of messes up, right? And he's the one who wants nothing to do with them?
Right.
I can't remember anything quite like it.
Yeah, he's the guy who, you know, 5 years into his NBA career, not only hasn't improved his three-point shot, but is unwilling to take it. Like, Philly fans, I think, would accept failure if you weren't so afraid to shoot the ball. I mean, you went, what was it, 5 fourth quarters without taking a shot. I mean, that's unheard of in the modern NBA. You know, come on.
Can we get to the – I want to get to the Bulls. And the reason I want to get there, and this is something I've been bringing up. I asked Jay about it. I asked Cap about it. Dave Capel the other day. I look at the Bulls. I just love the way the roster fits together. Lonzo Ball, what team would he not work on? He plays defense. He looks for his teammates. He can shoot and all these kind of things. And then they have two slashers, one mid-range game, one outside guy, and they have an excellent all-around center. I look at Patrick Williams, though, as the X factor.
Yeah, sure.
What's the, if he could somehow wind up being the best player on the team, oh, my God, right? What a squad. What's your scouting report on him and your forecast for the Bulls?
Well, first of all, anybody who's played for Leonard Hamilton at Florida State brings not only a tenacity but an understanding of what's required on the defensive end of the floor, his body type, the level of physicality. He did not look like a first-year NBA player in terms of his frame. So right away, you can't play bully ball with this guy. I think he's a wealth of upside on the offensive end. And I think you saw last night, like, I think they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch. If you're a league pass person, tune into the Chicago Bulls because they're going to get out in transition. They're going to be up-tempo. Zach goes for 34. How much easier is his life going to be, Jay? Because you got Lonzo Ball. Now he doesn't have to absorb every pick and roll. You know, he can get out in transition. He can show off his athleticism. The experience with USA Basketball just going to be so big for him. I love Zach LaVine's game, and I think Lonzo elevates it.
I think the addition of having Lonzo Ball and low-key, we talked about this yesterday with what the Lakers lost, Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play great last night. They need to score more bench points. But so, like, that maturity and the defensive tenacity and his understanding of the game, I think elevates his team. But, Doris, I do want to get to Zion Williamson. We talked about the Pelicans losing last night, a foot injury. I've been saying this since I saw him in college. I think he's one of the most explosive athletes the game has ever seen. But my question was always, with that body type,
right,
was it sustainable with the volume of games you have to play in a league? How do you think things are going to pan out for him?
I worry, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, the guy is an electric talent. That smile, the personality with which he plays, right? You had a New Orleans organization, because of everything that had transpired before, hang by a thread with its fan base, not a lot of enthusiasm. Now you get the number one pick. And not only the number one pick, but like a Patrick Ewing-level pick at the one spot where people are really enthused. Listen, he's got to commit to conditioning, to making sure all the things that go into success of a professional athlete, Keyshawn. I don't know how hard it is for a young man at that age to be disciplined in terms of his regimen, and I mean diet, off-season, how much he spends on taking care of his body. How integral do you think that will be to the success of this young man?
A lot, but he's in New Orleans. There's a lot of good food down there,
yes,
you know. And so,
yes.
But you have to take care of your body, especially in today's sports world. You look at other athletes around you, everybody spend money on their body. They take care of their body. They get the natural rest. They're eating a certain way. Now, maybe his body is just such that he's just a big-boned guy, and he's going to fluctuate up and down, back and forth. That's just probably what it is. I mean, we don't – obviously, I don't know because I'm not his dietitian or anything like that. But with that body type, we can just look at Charles Barkley, for instance.
Right.
That body type,
yeah.
Up and down, or whatever the case may be. But let me ask you this. Talking about players at odds with their teams, Marvin Bagley, agent, blasted the Kings for him not being in a rotation. What do you make of that, and where's that going now?
Yeah, and I thought the point that Jeff Schwartz seemed to be making was there were options on the table a season ago to make a move to get Bagley out of there. So if you didn't do that and then you put him in a situation where now you tell him the day before you're not in the rotation, it's a tough situation. I think the young man has shown flashes, but he's not been able to find a consistent game. And, Jay, whether, you know, what's contributing to that? In football, we see it sometimes where a certain system or a certain coach elevates a quarterback's play. You know, is the line right? Does he have the right receivers? All those kinds of things. That's a developing story, and I'll be interested. Sometimes we put a label on somebody or they fail to have success early. Marvin Bagley's still a young guy.
Yes.
There's still a window of opportunity here.
More success in the rap game than on the NBA court so far.
I am curious, and I would love to get your opinion on this, DB. You know, the game has become so much more fluid and so much more skill-like. Sometimes when I look at Marvin, he's a little bit more of a traditional post player. Do you think the game has moved away from his style of play, or do you think he can still catch up to where the game is going?
I think he can catch up, and I would point to Al Horford as a guy who was a low post player. back to the basket. Atlanta could throw it into him early, and, you know, he'd do some things with the basketball. Well, you know, okay, I'll give you a better example. Brook Lopez. Mm. Brook Lopez comes into the league with a reputation for being excellent on the offensive end and a liability defensively. He goes 9 seasons basically without shooting a three, and then all of a sudden recognizes the change that the NBA has made. Now he is at the key point of the best defense in the league, Milwaukee, their rim protection, and it's Brook Lopez. And he's added the three. It's like, does
Marvin... Shoots like 7 threes a game or something like that.
Yeah. Correct. Does Marvin Bagley want to put in the work to adapt his game? And I'm just going to go back to Zion for one thing, just only because Key just made note of Charles Barkley. And I'm sorry to hit this point, but this is one of the key stars to me in the next generation for the NBA to keep growing. Like, you think about how captivating Zion was when he was at Duke. Charles Barkley talks all the time, and he said it the other night on TNT. He talked about Moses Malone basically grabbing him by the collar and setting him straight. I don't think Zion has that.
This is so interesting. Wait a minute, Darce. I want to go over a little bit here with you on the Zion thing, because Moses Malone was not doing it with talent. He was doing it, the chairman of the boards was doing it just by working harder than everyone else, right? And Barkley talks about he wasn't as disciplined. Zion, to me, always seemed like almost like a puffed-up Derrick Rose in the sense that his fast twitchies at his bulk were just too much for the human body. His sneaker explodes, his knee, whatever, right?
Interesting, yeah.
But what you're talking about now is something different. You're saying, given that, you actually have to spend extra time on yourself making sure you don't get hurt and that maybe he's not doing that.
But not only that, Max, when you come into a league, you need a vet to put his arm around you, to say, this is how you do it. This is how you train. This is how you work on the road. And this is how you need to live your life in order to be successful. When you come into a young team and you don't have that, you're left to try to figure things out on your own.
And that's very true, because when I was drafted in 1996 as the first overall pick, we signed 4 veteran wide receivers in free agency, and they wanted to make sure that I understood how to be a professional wide receiver.
Goes a long
How
way.
Did they do that?
They did okay, I guess. I mean, it was one of those deals where they went out and they got Webster Slaughter, longtime guy, Quinn Early, longtime guy, Jeff Graham, longtime guy, and just be able to say, we're drafting him number one, but there was all young guys in the room. Mm. So they needed to have me understand the worth ethic on what it took to be a professional at the receiver level, not college.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's eating, getting the proper rest, working hard after practice. Because in college, when the practice is over, you go. Where in the pros, when practice is over, you might still be on the field another hour doing the littlest things, working on your sideline technique, something that was poor in college. You know, it's just little things like that.
Max, I'm saying that if you're Zion and you've experienced the number of injuries that he's already experienced, you have to examine every aspect of what it is that you are doing. Mm-hmm. How can I best position myself to make sure I'm available, right? Because that's so important to success in the NBA. And I think there's a lot going on there.
That could be the difference between one of the great athletes we'll ever see and a truncated career. That is Darce Burke joining us in studio, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Coming up next, Jay, get ready for this. Which dark horse teams in the NFL can be contenders? That's next on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Speaking of real, Bart Scott.
Ooh, you wore that LaMelo Ball outfit today, huh?
Good show.
Why you keep touching all the buttons?
I got no juice, man. Like, I ain't heard nothing, man. What's going on around
these
people?
You got to turn off your mic while he's doing that. They probably turned it back on now.
Nah, man, they ain't got nothing over.
We can hear you fine.
Y'all can hear me? Okay, I can.
Bart, you're like me.
No matter, we can have a conversation.
Bart's like me right now when he buttons the button on his suit. When I button the button on my suit, the thing is straining like,
I've been losing weight, though.
I've been on the podcast.
Oh, good for you. I need to do the same.
Hey, Key, how you feel about Rosario, man? Rosario, Braves picked him up midseason. He was injured, and he's paying dividends, man. Any concern over there?
Why are you messing with
Rosario Dawson? The actress?
Oh, really? That's how you're going to go? Rosario for the Braves, man.
So, real or not real, let's go.
He's not trying to talk about the Dodgers right now.
I guess he doesn't want to talk about the Dodgers. All right, look. Bart's giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It is time for real or not real. Brought to you by Treco. Treco has been the future of wipers since 1917, keeping you a step ahead of Mother Nature. Visit TrecoCatsAndDogs.com. Before we get into real or not real, here is Dan Orlovsky the other day from NFL Live on dark horse teams that could make the playoffs. Here's Dan Orlovsky.
Come on, Dan.
Dark horse teams that could
and
make the
now,
playoffs.
Now, Dan.
You know Dan can hear
and
you.
Chew.
Dan.
I do think two teams that are going to get in the conversation, because if we say, you know, it's Tennessee, it's Buffalo, it's the Ravens.
Don't you dare say Indy.
I think Indian New England will get into the conversation.
Whoa.
Check this. Check
Everyone's
this.
Leaving.
Indy plays Sunday Night Football against the 49ers. They win. They beat the 49ers. They are going to be 5-4 by the middle of November.
D.O.
Wow.
I'm just telling you, bro. The Indianapolis Colts are the third team in the history of the NFL. History now.
No, no.
Ryan's five games to start their season against teams that won 10 games the year before.
All right, what about the Patriots? Tell us why the Patriots.
New England's two plays away from being 4-2.
All right. So, based on what you just heard, guys, let's play some real or not real, brought to you by Trico. As I said, Trico's been the future of wipers since 1917, like keeping you ahead of Mother Nature. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. Okay. Mm. Real or not real to make the playoffs, the Indianapolis Colts?
I think that's not real. I don't think that's real. You know, I think about, you know, yeah, they look much better as, you know, you look at Carson Wentz, he's looking like, you know, he's looked like he's back from being James Conner with the two broken ankles from misery. But this is a team that was sold as somebody that can compete for the division. I think with King Henry kind of getting things going together, he's going to make sure. That loss right there to the Ravens really hurt them. You know, I think it set them back. I'm going to go not real.
It's very real. And I agree with Dan in this situation. When you look at Carson Wentz over the last three and a half, four games, he's been playing pretty good football. The defense is starting to play a little bit better. They get T.Y. Hilton back. They travel to San Francisco, which is at a crossroads. It's Jimmy G in, Jimmy G out. Trey Lance in, Trey Lance out. Doesn't look like Trey Lance will be playing this week. So if they go on the road and they win this football game, which in my opinion is a must win for the Indianapolis Colts, they can stay pace and win the division and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll go real too. They can win that game with 49ers. We'll see if they can get one versus the Titans. We'll see if that defense can actually withhold King Henry. But the Jets, the Jags, Texans, I mean, Patriots, Jags again, Raiders. There's a lot of winnable games on their schedule for them to sneak in.
Last year, Colts. Everyone said the Colts were a quarterback away. Carson Wentz has been playing better and better, and they're going to get their all-universe guard back at some point, right? And he's supposed to come back at some point? Patriots, real or not real, to make the playoffs, Bart.
I told you they was barbecue chicken before the season even started, man. Like, listen, it's going to be a long road to try and replace Tom Brady. You look at what, you know, Mac Jones did. They still haven't played the Buffalo Bills yet, right? So that's going to be two losses. They got Cleveland. That could be a crossroad game. I think they're not real. I don't think that the Patriots see the postseason this year. It's going to be the worst $300 million ever spent.
Yeah, I agree with Bart. It's not real, and I understand Bart has a thing for the Patriots because of his Raven and Jet days, just like you and the Cowboys and the Giants, Max.
Yeah.
Same sort of deal.
It's fine.
But he is speaking the truth. They probably spent $300 million, basically, as we like to say, tricked it off.
Yeah, I that's probably right. But, Jay, I don't know that they lose both games to the Bills. I don't know.
I wouldn't discount the Bills. I just wonder, you know, will they let Mac Jones go? Will they let him play?
Oh, okay.
Like,
I was like,
throw
what?
The okay. ball, I mean, yeah. right? Instead of just
– it was right up your alley.
Yeah, yeah. I saw your face. Wait, let him go.
Let him go. Let's have this conversation.
Mac Jones is falling off the cliff. I just wonder if they'll let him actually go and play. But if not, they try to stay with that system. I don't think so.
This is what I want to know. Has the league caught up to Mac Jones?
Oh, gosh.
That's the next one. All right. Titans, real or not real, Bart Scott to make the playoffs.
Did you see King Henry? Mm. Listen, I mean, you talk about he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson in 16. He's averaging over 130 yards rushing. Oh. Listen, he sets the tempo. Eventually, they're going to find a way to get the ball to Julio Jones and make some plays downfield. They really look like they're missing Arthur Smith. But if I had to go, they're going to win a division. They're dangerous in the playoffs just simply because King Henry doesn't seem to slow down.
Look, I agree with Bart. It is a real situation. If the Indianapolis Colts can't push them to the end, then the Titans will run away with this thing, because the one thing that they do have that's portable is they can run the football. And whenever you can run the football and play action pass game with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, then you have something special. What they have to do, though, is they've got to figure out how to get the defense solved.
Exactly.
They just got to figure that out.
They got a banged-up secondary. If they can keep the defense
they're barbecue chicken, 39. Man. We knew he was the fish.
Man. Just keep them somewhat disciplined, man, and keep them in games. They have the scoring power to stay with anybody.
Derrick Henry, even when everyone knew they were going to run the ball in the playoffs, has won playoff games when the whole defense knew he's running the ball and he'd still pick up 150 yards. It's real. Real quick, guys, super fast. Bart Scott, Bengals, real or not real?
It's an oxymoron. Super fast for me? No. Absolutely, man. Listen, I got the Bengals really maybe. Yeah, I think I'm gonna say it. Yeah, I think they're going to beat the Ravens this week, man. I think that offense, Joe Burrow's big time. I think
big time.
In short order, he's going to be a top five quarterback in this league. And now he's showing everybody that it's safe to go to Cincinnati.
That was real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say it's real because Cleveland's getting ready to fall back. Pittsburgh, we don't believe in. Baltimore, keep moving forward. And Cincinnati will be the second team that come out of that division as long as they don't have no P.I. guys like Bart when he played for the Ravens. You know what P.I. is, right?
I never got none of them, dog.
No, not pass interference, pile inspector.
He's accusing you of being a pile inspector.
What was a pile inspector?
You know, you don't go in the pile. You just stay on the outside and you just observe.
The dude who runs up on the pile.
No. I used to be in there grabbing stuff,
J-O-P guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Jump on pile.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, move along, Max. Let's get
this
thing going.
Jump on pile is also not a good thing.
I was like Friday after next, man. Yeah, hit him with the eye gouge. What do you want me to do when we catch him? Get an eye gouge.
Thank you, Bart Scott. Up next.
That's it.
What do you mean that's it? I didn't even answer the damn question.
We gonna put some gold
bond. Because you and
Keith, can we get Keyshawn some gold bond for them feet?
How challenging is it to go from the boxing ring to the octagon? We'll ask someone who knows.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So I was doing a fight once on HBO, guys, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, and I was talking about Andre Ward being the last Olympian to win a gold medal for the United States in boxing, and mm-hmm. I saw a tweet from Clarissa Shields, who, of course, won 2 gold medals, and she's like, what am I, chopped liver? I was like, oh, pardon me, Clarissa Shields. That's right. We're all proud. Clarissa Shields won 2 gold medals in the Olympics. She's a 4-division champion in boxing as a pro. Huh? And joins us via the Goodyear hotline. Clarissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, y'all. I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
We're doing good. We're doing good, Clarissa.
So, guys, Clarissa is not only a 4-division boxing champion, but she is now getting ready. Clarissa, you're getting ready for your 2nd MMA fight. That's a big transition at the PFL World Championship, which is next Wednesday, features 6 championship bouts. Each champion crowned 2021 PFL World Champion, take home $1 million. So what was it like? What were the change? Like, what was the difference? Because last time I spoke to you was before your first fight. How'd you find the experience?
You know, I thought the experience was fun. You know, it had its challenges, though. You know, like being taken down on the ground, having to get up, you know, being stuck on the ground with the girl that was brown belt. Like, it had its challenges, but overall, it was fun, it was challenging, and I was able to come out on top.
How different is fighting in MMA versus boxing, though?
Oh, it's way different. It's way different. I mean, you go from boxing where it's, you know, jab, right hand, uppercut, hooks and stuff, and then in MMA, it's like if somebody can't deal with you with the hands, they're like, forget this, we're taking you down to the ground, where your mind got to switch to now, okay, forget fighting, now we're grappling. You know, we're doing jiu-jitsu, we're wrestling. And you really got to have that quick mind switch in order for you to be able to keep up.
Excuse me for the ignorant question, but because I boxed for a lot of my life, how is the conditioning different for MMA, right? The grappling, all that stuff that factors into it, do you need to be in better conditioning for that aspect of fighting?
You have to get your body conditioned to have another body laying on you, have another body pushing and holding you. In boxing, when like somebody is holding, the refs say break, and y'all separated. But no, in MMA, the person, you got what you call clinches, you got tie-ups, and then you have groundwork. And that's all consistent of somebody who's your weight or a little bit heavier than you laying on you. And that's a whole different type of conditioning. My body was so sore when I first switched over to MMA. I just pushed and pushed and pushed it. But it's a different kind of soreness when you have a body laying on you that has muscles, that's trying to hold you down, that's trying to, where you got to use different kind of muscles to get up. It's a different kind of conditioning, but not like running. It's more of like body conditioning.
Clarissa, I've heard you say this before. I've heard you talk about fighting Layla Ali. Is that still on the table down the line somewhere? Because I need to see that if that's going to go down.
You see what happened to Evander Holyfield when he fought against Vander Belfort?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what happened to Leila Ali if she was to fight me.
Talk that stuff, girl. Clarissa, you bring up Holyfield. Are you saying because Leila is too old now?
Look, I have a lot of respect, you know, for Leila, like the legend. People think that I don't like her, and that's not true. I think that we bumped heads because we're both like so accomplished, and we both have, you know, great boxing skills. But I'm 26 years old. I mean, I'm not even in my prime yet, probably. You know, like, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting faster. She hasn't been inside the ring for 14, 15 years now. There's no way she'd be able to come out of retirement and even be able to keep up. And that's not saying she's not a good fighter. I'm just too young, too strong, too fast. You know, maybe we would have fought when she was 29, you know, and we were both kind of in our prime. People can compare. But right now, I mean, she's going to be turning, what, 45 soon. And that's just different. So it's not disrespect to her, but you really got to respect the game. And when you don't use the tools that you have, you lose them. That's just the truth about it.
Do you feel like when you people see it, we're talking to Clarissa Shields, and for people who don't know, you know, when you talk about the best pound-for-pound female fighters in the world, you cannot have a discussion without talking about Clarissa. She's a four-division champion as a professional, two-time gold medalist in boxing, and now has a win in MMA. But Clarissa, the women do not get paid like the men, right, in professional boxing. And so when I see Clarissa's name attached to Leila Ali, Clarissa is trying MMA. It seems to me like if there were the money fights that you wanted and the opponents you wanted in boxing, there would be less time for that stuff. Am I right or wrong about that?
Less time for MMA?
Yeah, less time for MMA, you know, and maybe we wouldn't be seeing your name attached to Leila. It's like, to capture the public's imagination, you need a dance partner. You need something that will draw the public's imagination and capture it and say, okay, now we're focused on this.
You know, I will say, in women's boxing, if we was given the opportunity that the men were given, then I can say that. So I've always had plenty of dance partners. You know, I've fought against some great opponents. I've trash talked. I've, you know, got into stuff with girls at weigh-ins. So it's not about people not having an imagination. It's just about women not being given those opportunities to see if we're a big draw. You know, I had my first pay-per-view fight on Fight TV, on FITE TV, where, you know, I did all the social media and all the pushing and everything just myself and with my celebrity friends. But I fought 6 times the main event on Showtime. So you would think that when I fight my pay-per-view fight, that it would be main event on Showtime, where I was getting over 450K views, 500K views a fight, to now I'm going to a network that my fans really couldn't even, you know, follow or keep up with, and I'm fighting on FITE TV. And now I'll tell you here that I did 25,000 buys on FITE TV. And that's just off of me promoting and pushing it off my own social media. So the numbers are here. People never knew the numbers. I did 25,000 buys.
They're telling me we're up against it on the clock right now, but I wanted you to be able to talk about the business that you're generating. If you haven't seen Clarissa Shields fight,
thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.